Oh, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All Saints Day. All Saints Day. We should approach this day with joy, and that's kind of tough sometimes because we celebrate those who have passed on as well. And we remember our members and our friends, and we remember Brenda Armstrong. We remember Stella Whitson. We remember Shauna Terry, all who have entered their glory in heaven. And that's why we call this All Saints Day, the observance of All Saints Day historically goes back actually to the early 700s. And if you've noticed, this day is surrounded by a bunch of other days. You noticed we had Halloween, part of All Saints Day. We also have All Souls Day, which is day after tomorrow, which is another day that celebrates this time of the year. And we also indicate that this day is the beginning of winter. Kind of feels like that today. For many, talking about death is not comfortable, I realize that. We approach this often as a source of sadness, fear, uncertainty. But yet, I want you to think about this. Nothing can compare to Philip Nicolai, who in 1597, he was from the German city of Jena. At that time, a plague hit his community, and they lost 1,400 citizens. This death did not discriminate in this town. It struck the rich, it struck the poor, the old, the young, the healthy, the frail. Every home experienced loss. And survivors that lived through this trauma of watching their loved ones die were overwhelmed. It was everywhere. It surrounded them. It seemed inescapable. So what could one person do? How do you fight a plague? You couldn't build a wall. You couldn't wear a mask. You couldn't keep it out. You were helpless. And I imagine if such a tragedy struck us today, we would be, well, certainly we'd be inundated with talk shows, podcasts, social media. We'd have counselors. We'd have pastors. People would be writing articles all over the place. And that would be valuable. Yeah, I grant you that. But Pastor Nicolai did something remarkable, something perhaps we would not have done in the face of all of this tragedy. He wrote a book. And in the preface, well, let me read the preface for you. The plague, with its fury and rage, fell upon the city like an unforeseen thunderstorm and tempest, and soon left no house unharmed. During that time, nothing was sweeter, fonder, or more pleasant to me than contemplating the precious, lofty article of eternal life procured by Christ's blood. I let this fill my heart day and night, and I searched the scripture to see what they testified concerning it. What did this pastor do? in the face of death all around him? He focused on life, eternal life. He turned to Scripture. He searched every passage that spoke of the joy and the hope of everlasting life, the joy of being delivered from this veil of tears and entering the glorious presence of God. And that is what All Saints Day is all about. I can't think, as I reviewed that, of any better way to face tragedy and loss when death looms large, which it always will. The faithful then turn their eyes to life beyond death. Even when our congregation experiences, as we have here before us, we have experienced loss of a dear loved one. But we find comfort and the strength, hopefully, in our message. If we can capture what we hear without passing it off and just walking out the door and leaving. If you think about what you hear from Christ, this is our hope. This is the joy, even now as we continue on this journey which we're on. And often this is a journey of sorrow, sadness. That's right. In his meditation, Pastor Nikolai, he touched on what St. John touches on. And I'm going to move around a little bit here on you. The Apostle John talking about in Revelations, because they talk about the same thing. So they talk about when death comes, what do you see? Well, they both saw the same thing. They saw angels escorting the saints from this world into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you, if you could, to think about that moment that many of us have lived through, the passing of our loved one. When a believer breathes their last, that moment, angels, radiant, tender, ready to carry that soul immediately into the presence of God. One instant, someone you love is struggling for a breath, the next, they're standing before the holy and glorious God. They are embraced by their Savior who gave his life for them. And finally, they behold the face of the Heavenly Father, whose countenance now shines as we close every service with his face shining upon them. And suddenly and instantly you will see that Holy Spirit that I talk about all the time from this pulpit. You will see him. He's been with you forever. But finally, you're going to see him. His guiding, his comforting, his sanctification. Now you are finally enveloped in love that is so pure, so overwhelming, so all-consuming that every pain, every sorrow you ever had is gone. It's forgotten. The very thought of evil is banished. And all you know is love, perfect love. And you know the irony of that? That is what God always meant for you and me. When he created this world, that's what he put into this world. Only by sin, brokenness, has this veil of love been distorted. But in heaven, you see it. Finally, it pours out on you. Now, the term you heard in John today is poured out. I like the use of the term. I love this, lavish. I love lavish. It means it's poured out endlessly. It never, ever stops. It's abundant. There's no restraint. It's endless. Those who've gone before us remain, and this is kind of the touchy, strange part of every discussion. Those who have passed are here with us. They are part of the communion of saints, which we pray literally every Sunday. We talk about and read about in the Bible the cloud of witnesses. That's who it is. It's those who have gone before us. They're the ones who are with you, encouraging you, talking to you, helping you, unseen, but there. Now, you say, well, Pastor, there's only one problem we got here. To be very honest, some days I'm not very lovable. We're just not. Like kids, we get dirty, we get muddy, we make a mess of things. But here is a thing I want us always to remember, and Luther is quite open about this. When we struggle in this world, get to your Father, because He cleans you up, He washes you off, He makes it better. And then He sends you back into the world with encouragement. So, I don't want anyone to feel sorrow for the saints who have been spared the pain and struggle of life, because they're happy and they're rejoicing. We should celebrate with them. We should give thanks for them. For the Lord has wrapped them securely forever in His eternal love, and nothing ever will separate them from Him. So we rejoice with them for the completion of their journey, for the victory of faith they now enjoy. They rest from their labors. They join the angels, the archangels, and the host of heaven in praising God. They're in heaven. All are radiant. All are perfect. There's no flaws, no harsh words, no touch of a shadow of sin. There's only love. There's laughter. There's joy. Their praise fills the air. And I imagine that the rafters of heaven shake with singing and celebration with many of my friends who have passed on. I just know that. Look around that heavenly vision, millions upon millions of saints, radiant and joyful, welcoming each new arrival. As a long-lost family member, they're instantly recognized, instantly embraced, and instantly at home. And oh, what a home it's going to be. So again, I say, don't begrudge, don't sorrow those who have passed. Rejoice with them, for them. Celebrate the eternal life they now live in the presence of a gracious God. Never forget, Christ loves you, and He saved you. He saved you on that cross, even when you were sinning and you were a sinner. He loved you that much. So today we remember our beloved saints. We give thanks for the victory that is theirs, and someday it will be yours. For this is our hope. This is what we believe as Lutherans. This is our joy, the joy of eternal life in Christ Jesus, our risen Lord. Amen.